So let us pray. God said, I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. So Lord, as we come into your presence here now, we ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, this prayer we make in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Kim sent me the rota with these readings on, I didn't realise that we were going to be going into an election. So I felt that the first reading's quite apt, really, considering that we are, as a nation, soon to select who is to govern us for the next 4 or 5 years. Since the death of Moses, the tribes of Israel have been guided by people we term as judges. These were people selected by God to be his mouthpiece to the people. Israel was the chosen people, and God was their leader. And this was symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant, always leading the Israelites when they went into battle. God was on their side. They were his chosen people. He was their king and their leader. However, in the reading we hear that the people do not want to be special, do not want to be different to the nations that surround them. Remember that God has instructed that his chosen people should not intermarry with the nations that are around them, as God believes that this will lead to them being enticed to follow other gods by their spouses. Still to this day, very Orthodox Jews only marry within their own sect. And here now we hear of the people's dissatisfaction with Samuel's sons, whom he has appointed judges to follow him. The elders of the tribes believe that a king would offer order and stability. All would know who would follow through inheritance, rather than having to wait and see who God would choose. And even though Samuel points out all the downsides of having a king to rule them, he'll take your sons and make soldiers of them to fight his battles. He'll take your slaves and own them himself. He'll demand taxes of you, taking part of your flock, part of your food, a tenth. All these things the king will do that we do not do. Still, though, the people say they want a king. They insist. And surprise, surprise, God is not concerned. He says, they want a king? Let them have a king. Now, that might seem strange. Well, it did to Samuel. But you see, God is not concerned with now, the immediate, but rather, he sees far into the eternal. When you think about it, letting the Israelites have a king, choosing Saul, but then getting David, the shepherd king. And 1,000 years later, a man would come forward, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, one of a line of David. God's redemption would come because the Israelites demanded for a king. In our gospel reading, we hear of the start of this Messiah's ministry, which is to change everything. Jesus begins in his own area around the Sea of Galilee and immediately finds opposition from the religious hierarchy of Jerusalem. But even his own family are concerned at what he is doing. Sometimes it's true, isn't it? Outsiders can go against us on what we say or what we do. We can live with that. But when those most closest to you, when they say, "We think you are wrong," that's when it hurts. And that's when it makes us think twice. Jesus' words can seem very hard. What he says at the end, when he says, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother?" And yet not so. For he is saying that following him will have consequences. Not all of them will be happy ones. Yes, our families are important to us, and we must not neglect our responsibilities. And Jesus didn't, did he? Because when you think, when he was on the cross, who did he think of? His mother. Wanted to make sure she was looked after. But what he's trying to tell you is, we are part of a far greater family. The family of the whole of humankind. Our family is everybody on this earth, today, in the past, and forever. These scribes who've come from the religious authorities, what do they say? Who does this carpenter think he is? This uneducated man. He's nobody. From a nothing place. They see his actions of healing and exorcism not as divine, rather the work of the devil. Maybe they see Jesus challenging their positions and assumptions as he frees people from illnesses, freely giving them forgiveness and healing. After all, in the eyes of the religious people, I say, only God can forgive. The minds of these scribes are closed to the goodness Jesus does, closed to the changes he is to bring about. And I believe it should be a stern warning to all of us who think we have all the answers, who are frightened by those who think differently to them. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, the spiritually as well as the literally blind. There is not one path to God. Jesus came to show a different way. We need to be ready to let the Spirit come through the chinks of our dogma and fundamentalism, opening our minds to other points of view. And if we don't, then I think we will be left alone in our certainties. Terrifyingly, sometimes God actually says to us, "All right, your will be done." I think God loves us so much that he is prepared to give us the freedom to be different. And actually, in his eyes, we are all different. We are all individual, created through him. And this is what God did when the people demanded a king. He let them have their own way. And through this Messiah came Jesus of Nazareth. And he continues to do this, not to be like us, who can be changeable as the weather, but to allow us to be like him, open and loving to his whole creation, never rejecting us when we seem to reject him, but always calling us quietly back to where we can find him. According to the prophet Micah, this is what the Lord asks of us: to act justly, to love tenderly, to walk humbly with our God. Be humble, all of us, be humble, and God will speak if we will just listen. And if it's different to what others tell you, don't be afraid. Rather, love them for their difference. You see, God never leaves us. He never leaves us as individuals. He walks in our road, our pilgrimage of faith, through this transitory life. Not before us, not behind us, but beside us. And when we stumble and fall, he lifts us up, puts us back to follow our path. And God is happy for each of us to pursue our road of faith, for he knows whatever road we take, it will always bring us to him at the end. To him who is the creator of all, the whole universe, the God who is love eternal. Amen.